Welcome to Marooned at Magpie's headquarters. Day 77 marks the end of 11 weeks. How did it come to this? I have no idea. Let me know how you are, where you are, and what you're doing. Good evening, Jonathan. Hello, Deb. CQCQ. 11 weeks. It's literally, in some ways, it seems like forever ago since I went anywhere. And in another way, it's flashed past, blink of an eye. What I did today, because I thought, there should be some interesting stories to share. We did some fabulous music last night on the Brooklyn show. He stayed with us till late. Oh dear, it got silly, but we had a fabulous night. So I thought, I'll go see what's happening in the news. That was where I made my mistake. I was fine while I was on the international page, but then I learnt something. Tombstoning. Tombstoning. Why did nobody explain this concept to me? Tombstoning. Apparently it involves like jumping off a cliff into some water. Yeah, so I've got these two stories next to each other. Good evening, Paul. Or in your case, good morning. Good afternoon. Around that time. Hello. This tombstoning. Red story. Really? Are people that stupid? Yes, apparently so. Three were hurt. No surprise there then. Jumping 70 foot off a cliff. So I'm casting my eyes over this story thinking, really? Really? The story right next to it on the BBC homepage was, it just, these two stories just next to each other. Can you imagine my incredulity with the tombstoning business? What is tombstoning? Right, okay, let me apprise you, Jonathan. Jonathan doesn't know either. Right, tombstoning has continued on Dorset's Jurassic Coast less than 24 hours after three people were seriously hurt jumping 70 foot from a cliff. Basically, I think you jump from the cliff and you just kind of fall into the water without trying to make it a dive or anything. So literally like a tombstone, you just splat. Why? This is the bit I don't get. Why? We talked last week, I'm sure we mentioned it last week, about when my mother managed to set the kitchen on fire. Before we knew it, people were talking to us about it, and it was because it automatically was passed over to the press and it was in the local paper. But this says the ages and genders of those involved in this incident have not been disclosed. Well, I can assure you they were with my mother's kitchen fire. Probably to protect the stupid. So tombstoning is the act of jumping into water from a high platform, such as a cliff, a bridge or a harbour edge, in a straight, upright, vertical posture resembling a tombstone. So somebody said that she saw several people jump from this area on the beach, and people on the beach were clapping and encouraging it. Describing one jumper, she said it was really shocking how he landed. He landed on his stomach. He did not land well, and he disappeared into the water. For about 5 minutes, he disappeared completely. One guy managed to get out. It was a shocking and devastating picture we saw. So, point being, who pays for these idiots? We do, Jonathan, the great British taxpayer. Hello, Kim. That's the point, really, that I'm going to make with this other story that was right next to it. That one's headline was tombstoning warning after three hurt jumping 70 foot. The next one is boy with cerebral palsy completes a marathon walk. He is 9 years old. He can't walk without a walking frame. Inspired by Captain Tom, he's walked a marathon outside his house. It's taken him 70 days. I know which story I'd rather read. The other ones, I agree with Jonathan, give them the bill. Give them the bill. Everything. The air ambulance bill, the lot. I don't care if it bankrupts them. The great British taxpayer pays for all of that. It's criminal, isn't it? This kid had a target of £500. And he's raised £46,000. What's his name? Tobias. He's also got autism and he can't stand or walk unaided. But he said, I can't believe I completed a marathon, which is amazing. absolutely amazing. There's something wrong with the parents of these people who are jumping off cliffs. Why would you jump off a cliff? I mean, just logically, why would you jump off a cliff? Do you think people have been in lockdown too long? So Jonathan says, let them do it, be my guest, just don't expect my taxes to pay for your medical treatment. Natural selection. Indeed, natural selection. No mention of the fact, you know, when these people need rescuing, you've got to think of the rescue services, you know, who've got to think about COVID as well. Because by definition, these people, not only have they just jumped off a cliff to prove just how stupid they are, but they're out of the house. Ergo, part of the second wave. And I learned what tombstoning was as well. I know what planking is, but planking's not quite as dangerous as tombstoning. Well, actually, depending on where you're doing it, I guess. I despair of people. I really do. Really, really do. I think I'm going to go back to the international news and leave the England page. Because at least on the international news, we had the news of the SpaceX docking with the International Space Station. Which at least was good news. Good evening, Tracy. How are you? We're talking stupid people tombstoning at the moment. Let's get past that before we all just... I mean, seriously. Yeah, last night we had some fun with the takeoff of SpaceX, the launch. We were in the middle of our music show and we played some spacey kind of music. We did Space Oddity and Life on Mars... and Rocket Man. Oh, we were in the zone. We were in the zone. Funniest thing was later, though, somebody came on. They'd been watching it. They weren't listening to the radio station. So they put a request in for Space Oddity. We were like, yeah, 3 hours ago. But the funniest thing was our friends, Kath, Carolyn, Joe. It was a clear night in the UK. You make the most of that. Doesn't happen often. And they'd gone outside to see this thing. Orbit, and they knew when it was because the guy next door is really keen on this kind of thing, and he had told them when it was due. So they all disappear outside to watch the rocket fly past, and they spots it. The only thing was, when they got back inside, the bloke said to them, sorry, that was a commercial flight from Dublin to Dubai. Not quite sure how you could mistake the two myself. That one just got me. It got me. Oh, Tracy doesn't know what tombstoning is either. Yeah, we were all blissfully ignorant as well, Tracy. But now we know. Not good. Not good. Right, I will read it to you, the definition that the BBC have. Tombstoning is the act of jumping into water from a high platform, such as a cliff, a bridge or a harbour edge, in a straight, upright, vertical position resembling a tombstone. So what had happened was three idiots had decided to do this from a 70-foot high cliff. And, you know, I'll put the link in for you because you can see the air ambulances there. And as we all know from Pete, they are not funded by the British taxpayer. That's a charitable case. They should not be using their charity funding to rescue imbeciles. And behind, even worse than this, I'm going to put this link in, but I'm just going to tell you first what to look out for. There's the picture at the very top of the page, and it says emergency crews were called to, what was it? Durdledore. But the worst part of the picture is not the fact that they're rescuing these people from the beach and the air ambulance is there. Look behind that. Because they've obviously told people on the beach to move out of the way so the air ambulance can land. Which means not much in the way of social distancing going on there, is there? They are literally packed like sardines. Basically, I'd say to you, where was it? Was it Dorset? Don't go down there. They seem to have an over quota of idiots. And they all seem to be on the beach today. So now we all know what tombstoning is. We've all learnt something today. Not good. Just not good. There's also one on here. Hundreds attend a party breaching lockdown rules. This was a DJ booth that was set up in East London. I mean, again, why? Having said that, the house opposite, there's 9 cars outside there today. They are having a family meet-up. Now, you cannot get to the back garden without going through the house because they stupidly had an extension built and there's no way round the extension. Got to go through the house. Do you know what a Graves is? No, no, I don't. Is this something I need to know, Deb? Let me know. No, I don't. Unless it's to do with the tombstoning. But I've only just learnt what tombstoning is. I feel very down with the cool kids today. Now I've got a trendy word. Jonathan, you're a millennial. I'm assuming you've never been tempted to tombstone. No, Tracy, there's just no words. There are just no words. So I warmed my heart with the story of Tobias, the cerebral palsy boy who's just done his marathon and tried desperately to ignore the rest of them. I'm actually loving my Facebook feed at the moment because I'm seeing a lot of things in it to the effect of, Guy posted one yesterday and it said, just because lockdown is being eased doesn't mean it's safe to do so. It's just for the economy. But stay where you are. So there's a lot of that going on. If Pete had to rescue me, I'd never forgive myself. Exactly. Exactly. I totally understand. That's what would concern me. I remember many years ago, I was in terrible pain. And the obvious thing to do was to ring an ambulance. Because I was at the point where I thought, this isn't going to fix itself. Need an ambulance. Gets onto them. Basically, if you are having a heart attack or a stroke, they'll be there within 3 minutes. But if you are in dire pain and can't move, can you make your own way to the hospital? And we just looked at each other with like, really? Yeah, okay then. And we made our own way there. And I said to Mike, well, you know, we're in a position where we can, so let's do it. You know, I don't actually need an ambulance. I just need to get to hospital. But I thought if you go in an ambulance, you're not going to be sitting in the waiting room for 5 hours waiting. So I said, right, what we'll do, I'll just go, like, not with my day clothes on. I shall go with my night clothes on and like a coat over them. I said, and then they'll have to take me through because they'll realise what pain I'm in. And that's exactly what happened. But usually if you arrive by an ambulance, you get taken straight through. So that was my rationale. But when it was like, well, we're a bit short on ambulances, I thought, well, we'll just get there ourselves. I can't imagine. They really should be sued for that. They really should. Right, so I'm learning something now from Deb. A graver is someone who walks the cemetery or graveyard to locate a grave and take a picture for findagrave.com. I had no idea, but that actually makes sense, doesn't it? Because didn't you mention, somebody mentioned a house near here, belonged to a relative and Mike went to take a photo? Yeah, that actually does make a lot of sense. You know, if you are near a location, but that's not, it would be worse if they were digging them up though, wouldn't it? Let's be honest, if we're going to do a comparison with the tombstoners. No, don't dig anybody up. Not a good idea. We do have a friend who's a grave digger, believe it or not. There's a lot more to it. There is a lot more to it than you would imagine. It's not all just about digging graves. There's like a pecking order for how many... They dig graves in hand, ready, because obviously people are going to die even before the COVID thing. But what was happening was, over Christmas, he's in mass and his phone's ringing. So he's got to go... I mean, it's on silent, but you can see it vibrating off the pew. He has to go outside to take it. He comes back in. I think he actually said to Mike and I, because we were closest, giving me apologies, and he disappeared. He'd run out of graves. So they do dig them in hand, but he'd actually run out. There'd been that many people who died. The other thing that we kind of thought was happening, but he actually confirmed it, is obviously in the UK, we're very multicultural. We have lots of different faiths. And there is a pecking order in terms of faith as to who gets first dibs on the graves that are dug. And it's because I think it's Muslims need to bury them very, very quickly. Judaism, they bury them very, very quickly. But Christianity, they do actually in Ireland as well. They bury within 2 days in Ireland. But everybody else in the UK basically has to wait. Which explains why my mum died on the 23rd of December. And we finally laid her to rest on the 21st of January. Seriously, she was at the Undertaker's that long. She basically went to the Christmas party and got put on the pension plan. And it's quite difficult. You know, you've not said your goodbyes. You are in suspended animation. But it was all because they ran out of graves. So there you go. Right, so, oh, you hear Lola. Indeed. She was outside, wasn't she? He's having a ponder. He is here. He's just being of the silent order. So yes, Tracy did that in 2016 when she went to visit a war grave in Norway. Arranged with a voluntary organisation to take photos of the graves of three Anzac servicemen. That's wonderful. That is such a good idea. Really is. We've got some things in the UK. I think it was my great uncle, was buried in like a military thing. And we actually had details of that. And I said, you know, it would be nice one day to go and see it. But I didn't realise you could kind of do some volunteer stuff and take pictures of others. That is a really, really, really lovely thing to do. Especially for people who can't get over there and they would really love to see it. That's amazing. I'm liking that. Fallen graver. Oh, find a grave is a virtual cemetery for memorials. That's brilliant. And when my... Oh, we've got our quad bike out, have we? Idiot alert. Just one's just gone past. Still illegal to shoot them, isn't it? Just checking. Some of them need it, believe you me. What was I saying? Oh, it's come back to me. So Paul's Protestant and usually a week or two before burial. I guess this was just a really, really busy time. It's terrible in the UK at Christmas because basically the local government shut down early-ish. They have fewer and fewer appointments to register the death. If the weather's really bad, that impacts everything. If there's a flu outbreak, that impacts it all. So it's purely the numbers involved. But you are supposed to register a death, I think it's within 7 days. And obviously, we were told that Mum was ill. Was it the 11th or 12th of December? She actually died on the 23rd. But obviously, once you get to the 20th, we're thinking this is going to be Christmas. It's going to be Christmas Day. Oh, my God. And the doctor was going away. And you have to have had a doctor, because she was at home, you have to have had a doctor's visit signing the blue binder. The blue binder is given to you by the council and the carers. She had carers coming. And they record everything about their visits into this blue binder. And in the blue binder, there is a page for people to sign it as they visit. So when the doctor comes, whip the blue binder out, shove it in their face, get them to sign it. Because if you have not had a health visitor sign this binder, so this would be either a doctor or maybe they would take a district nurse, but preferably a doctor. Within 48 hours of the death, there is a possibility they will send the police in and you will need an inquest. This despite the fact that basically just in case, you know, you're bumping somebody off is why. But it puts such a pressure on the family. We'd been through it with Dad, so we knew all about it. For instance, with Dad, he was at home until about 5 to 6 hours before he died, but he actually died in hospital. They wouldn't sign the paperwork. He'd been in hospital 5 hours, but they wouldn't sign it. Luckily, the blue binder had a signature in within the last 48 hours, but it's ludicrous things like that happen. We just about made it because it was Mike and I got engaged on the 24th of December.
Good evening, everybody.
Oh, he's back. He's back. And Mum was like, I'm not going on that day. I'm not. I want to see Christmas. She was busy saying. But she actually died about 4 hours before our anniversary, didn't she? So she has a little day of her own, not sharing ours. But we had visions of the doctor was going on holiday. So there would be nobody to come in and sign the blue binder. So it was going to be a nightmare. But that's why. So this 7 day rule, obviously 23rd of December, the next morning was Christmas Eve. I rang the council. I think I got the cleaner. We can't fit you in because we're closed. And I thought, well, fair enough. You're closed today. You're closed Christmas Day. You're closed Boxing Day. I can't remember whether it was a weekend involved as well. But basically, there was no way it could be done within 7 days. So I said, but it's got to be done within 7 days. It'll be fine, she said. We'll sort it out. So she said, we're very, very busy. And I thought, well, that's understandable. So she gave us this date. I think it was about 8 to 9 days later. We gets there. There wasn't a living soul in the place, was there? I mean, seriously, what was going on? I said, you know, like, they couldn't give us an appointment because they were so busy. I said, where is everybody? It was just us and the registrar. It is ludicrous what goes on. So we managed to do that, but then we had problems trying to fit it in because of all of the others, and it took ages. But my great uncle, I think he's buried in, I think he's up in Lancashire somewhere, but we've never actually seen it. But when we went to, there's two cemeteries involved here. When we went to the cemetery that my gran and granddad are buried in, there's a huge headstone and it's all got the engraving on it. But there's also another family plot. So in relation to this taking of photos, it was a good job that I went when I did, and my grandmother knew where it was, because the headstone's incredibly tiny. It's basically just a marker stone with surnames on. And it was because these deaths dated back to like the 30s and they didn't have enough money to put a bigger headstone on it. Obviously, over time, this area of the graveyard also has like sunk a bit. So some of these stones are at very odd angles. It needs a bit of maintenance. I didn't know where it was. I would have had no idea. But now I navigate it by the headstones of other people and I know exactly where it is. But yeah, I think that's lovely.
I wondered how we got on to talking about graves.
Tombstoning, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you aware what tombstoning is?
I am now.
You are now? That's how everybody else
is. I've been on Find a Grave.
I haven't.
Yeah,
no, I haven't.
To look for all the Munich lads.
That's another good reason, isn't it? Absolutely. Good evening, Simon. How are you doing? How's Dusty? A week or two would be good here, Paul, but that's not going to happen around Christmas time. So it's usually about that time. But we're basically bottom of the queue, so you don't worry about it. Obviously, the priest's busy as well, so we had to fit that in. And he had the temerity. He'd been away for 6 months. He came back for Christmas, said, sorry, Mum's died. And then he said, I'm going to London for a week. Can you leave it till I get back? There's no haste at all, is there? There's definitely no haste. Oh, Dusty's miserable. He's been banned from the kitchen while we treat for an ant invasion. Poor Dusty. Oh, that's not Dusty's fault, is it? Oh. Lola's discovered something amazing today, hasn't she, Mike? He's has wondering she? What... Oh, yes, she has.
Oh, yes, she has, hasn't she?
First time ever.
Yeah.
We're sitting here saying it's too hot to eat. It's too hot to eat. I said, I'll have an ice cream. So Mike brought the ice creams up. Lola came in and eyed it. I said, now, how do you know you like them? I don't think she's ever had it because her face was a picture. So I took a bit of my ice cream and I put it on my finger and handed it over. She had a lot of sniffing first, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Just in case it was medicinal or something. And then discovered it was most appropriate. We've now put some ice cream in the basket for her. Because this stuff had that fondant stuff on the outside. So we're going to order, it's in the basket, some vanilla ice cream for her. She has discovered ice cream. We have a very happy dog here today. Which got us talking about Maya, didn't it? Because Maya was such a spoiled boy.
He didn't think so.
But he was definitely a spoiled boy. We used to buy him a McDonald's milkshake. But I would only let him have vanilla. And I think he quite fancied Mum's because it was strawberry. And Mike would sometimes have chocolate. And he wanted that as well. I only did vanilla. And of course, you've got to think about him slurping it all over his fur. So I said, no, no to the pink one, no to the brown one. And then I ordered a vanilla one once, didn't I? And got a banana. And I took the lid off and I went, that's not vanilla. Go and get me a vanilla. But yes. So, Kiva loves ice cream too. Lola's only just discovered it. But I'm thinking, don't tell Lola, I'm thinking we need an ice cream cake for her birthday because it's only 2 weeks away. She is 5 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yes.
So we're going to have a huge party. So I think we'll do... We might cut down on the dog food so she can have some ice cream, I think.
She won't please you for that.
Kim says she's only had it on her birthday. Maya used to have ice cream on his birthday as well because we did a cake and he didn't eat cake. He didn't eat anything with flour. And he was a gluten-free dog. So we gave him ice cream. He absolutely loved it. Oh, he loved it. So, yes, we're going to get this vanilla ice cream for her birthday. I hope they don't have the temerity to say they're out of stock because that would not be acceptable. It's my girl's birthday and she's having ice cream. Can you get doggy cakes? You probably can. I've not seen dog ice cream, no. You would tend to give just plain vanilla, low fat probably. But cakes, you probably could. And they would be that type of thing. Have you seen dog treats, Jonathan, that are like... how would you describe those, like, Christmassy ones? And they're not biscuits, are they? They come in all different shapes.
Kind of crunchy biscuits.
They are crunchy, but they look like they're made out of wheat husks or something. So, yes, they would make cakes like that in stuff that dogs could eat. You can get chocolate for dogs, doggy chocks, which the first dog I was ever allowed to get some doggy treats for was a dog called... What was the dog called? I know what the dad was called. Monty. Monty the dog was called. He was a Lancashire Heeler, which is very tiny. So he looked a little bit like a sausage dog. And I was allowed to give him a couple of chocolate treats. But we never did that with Maya. And we don't do it with Lola either. On the basis, they probably can't tell the difference between that and any other chocolate that's lying around the house. So we said to Maya, you know, you don't eat that. And he never did. He never tried taking any of my father's or anything else. It was just, you don't eat chocolate. But we did have other treats for him, but they were dog treats. We did do cakes for Maya, though. Well, we did some pickies out of Maya's cakes. And every year there was a number on the top. You had one the other day, didn't you? We had one that was a flashing one. Mum got this candle holder. Yeah. It was a plastic candle holder and it had like a digital number on it. So you programmed it at the back and then it sang happy birthday and flashed on and off. There was also the year she got this flower. It looked like a bulb. If you can imagine a bulb that you would... Either a flower bulb, the shape of a flower bulb, or a bulb you would put in a light fitting. It was that kind of shape. And there was a candle sticking out of the top. So I'm looking at this thing thinking, what is that supposed to be? And she said, you put it on the cake and then you light the candle. And as you lit the candle and the candle burnt down, all the shape of this thing was like petals. And the petals opened and it actually played happy birthday. The only thing was, do you remember what happened with it, Mike?
Didn't it catch fire or something?
Yeah, the first thing that happened was you couldn't get the candle out, so it started melting. But the second thing was you couldn't stop it singing happy birthday.
That's
don't
fine.
Remember, it wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
And after about an hour, Mum said, I can't take much more. Can you make it quiet? I ended up having to dismantle it and take the battery out. Maya thought it was fabulous. Mother, less so. Ooh, peanut butter treats. I don't think Lola's ever had that either. Wouldn't get the peanut butter off Mike. But didn't you see a recipe for peanut butter treats the other day? Like biscuits?
She might have had a bit of peanut butter.
Only a tiny fraction.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have had it like a proper dog treat,
smooth,
would you?
It's not crunchy.
You might have to bake some.
Yeah.
We can't bake at the moment. Neither of us can get in the kitchen. It's red hot. Oh, my word.
What?
You see some sights, don't you? There's a lady just come round the corner and she's got one of those her jibs on.
Yeah.
Just round the head, but full regalia. Yeah. Not black, though. Like a goldy cream colour. And you know how you can usually just see the eyes and she's got a mask on as well, so literally all you could see was her eyes. It's a wonder she can see where she's going. Must be hot wearing that. Wow. You trained Kiva to not lick with peanut butter. Oh, she's so cute. She is so cute. What was Ollie like? Ollie, I think Ollie is food obsessed. Absolutely obsessed. And he just can't leave the kitchen alone, can he? Wherever.
No.
He would even jump in the oven left alone. He's a menace in the kitchen. And yet they trained him not to go up the stairs. So to me, like, going upstairs, not an issue. Sticking your head in the oven, that's not a good idea, Ollie. But he has no sense in the kitchen at all. He is absolutely obsessed with food, way more than Lola is. We need to do some peanut butter treats, I think. But yeah, we used to give Maya two treats. He had ice cream, which was just plain vanilla, and he had these milkshakes. Learns the term lick and licks the peanut butter, and then you teach her no, and then combine the two. Does she wolf it down? Maya used to inhale treats, didn't he? Absolutely inhale treats. So what have we all been up to anyway? What did we learn on Friday night and have since implemented? I was explaining what fun we had last night.
We did. We had great fun.
Yeah, absolutely great fun. Jonathan heard a song his mum used to sing him. That was a good choice. That was inspired, wasn't it, Jonathan? And then later on, it just got into silly season, didn't it, Kim? As we say, two nations separated by a common language. Mike mentioned the word... Where you go?
Suspenders.
No, he didn't. You said sussies.
Oh, sussies.
Sussies. And even the English contingent had no idea what he was talking about. But now we have been apprised...
We were talking about Rocky Horror, just in case anyone wonders why I was talking about sussies.
No one wonders, Mike. They know we're barking. Just saying. you were talking Rocky Horror. And I said, but that has a complete... He had to explain what sussies were to one of... to Carolyn, wasn't it? She'd never heard that term. Wow. And then I said, but suspenders mean something totally different in the States. So then we had to explain that. So then the question became, if suspenders are what we call braces in the States, then what are suspenders in the States? Anyway, we found out, and Kim sent us a link, which was fabulous. Mike's going to have his entire birthday collection of gifts from that site.
It was brilliant. Saying nothing.
It was a good night. It was a good night. Even including... You're the one that I want.
Oh, yes.
That has now become a threat on our radio station. I'm sure many of you know about Grease, the film, the musical. Somebody requested a song by an old entertainer from the UK. So we played that song. That was bad enough. I won't say it was old. There you go, Kim. There's a challenge. Put your link in. I won't say it was old, 1959, but it was on a vinyl 78. So we found that. Your nice Catholic friends were shocked with a garter. Trust me, Kim, it takes a lot to shock them. I'm going to show you some pictures of what they get up to. What did happen last night, but I'll come on to that anyway. We played this record, at which point Stuart came in and said that had reminded him of another one. I have a vague recollection. I was only about 9 when this record came out. But it was two... comic actors from the UK, man and a woman, and they decided to do their own version of You're the One That I Want. Oh, was it bad? It instantly swept in to number one of the worst songs.
I got chills, they're multiplying.
It's bad, isn't it? But the thing is, I had no idea. This'll frighten Kim. Wonder you weren't terrified last night, Kim, when this started. There's an entire album from them. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
They had released an album. Oh, I am stocked with the worst songs forever and ever. Yeah, our nice Catholic friends. You know that there's Joe and Kath, and they have two kids, and their kids are Caroline and Lisa. Lisa lives on a military base down south somewhere, hence not seeing her for a year. And... every year when we go on holiday in February, when we do our Alveston trip, they've invited her. And every year she's like, no. They're your Catholic friends. No. Obviously, Lisa's Catholic, but not in terms of practicing, probably. Not as much as a lot who go every week anyway, let's say that. So she was like, no, I won't go. Anyway, this year they said, you've got to come. All right. You've been there about 4 or 5 years, but this year you've got to come. Elaine and Mike are in charge. You will have a good time. So she came along. What was she like? She was petrified. She thought it was going to be, like you said, Bible readings on the hour, every hour. So she came along full of trepidation. The first full day, we did the Friday night. So basically what you do is you roll up about 2-3 o'clock on a Friday, and you've got a few hours to settle in. Then you have your evening meal and the first night's entertainment. Thank you for that, Kim. It is indeed today. Did you were aware of that, or have you forgotten?
No.
Not looked at the newsletter. Naughty, naughty. So she had the meal and everything. So the next day, she was like, this is fun. These are cool people. The next day, we start with the archery, the shooting, you name it. Well, what was she like? We went into the shooting and she couldn't believe it. In fact, the guy who was there in charge of it, so he was from the hotel, said he'd never had a group like ours that were just laughing and laughing and laughing the whole of the time. And then she actually said, we're in like a hut for the shooting. And she said, I didn't know what to expect from a Catholic group. Well, she never lived that down, did she? People were like, Bible reading is at 6 o'clock. There was no faith involved. There wasn't, was there?
No.
There was a church service on the Sunday. But I think I pretty much decided I'd watch one online and be done with it. Life's like a box of chocolates, Forrest Gump, yep. So was a church. You might turn up at a church and it like just not be for you. So I very safely decided on an online one. But yeah, she had an absolute blast, and that's why she can't quite believe the fun that we have. She has a totally different vision that it'll all be our fathers and Hail Marys, and guess what? It's not. No. William Shatner, that is a good shout, that, Paul. Might get that in for next week. I will pick one and listen to that. We did play that one, possibly in the charts at a similar time. Was it Lee Marvin? Wandering Star. Yeah. Oh, that was bad. That was bad. But yeah, William Shatner, I've heard that was bad.
If you look at that page at the bottom,
yeah,
it's got the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Which is
what? We didn't play it last night.
I didn't play it last night because Stuart made the rookie mistake of sending me the link in an email at 8:15. I am mid-show. Do you think I am sat here reading my email, Stuart? You know, why did he send an email at 8:15 when there's the chat? It's tricky enough to keep your eye on the 14 chats that we seem to have acquired.
Because he wanted it to be private.
Well, send me a private WhatsApp, because, hey, I've got WhatsApp right in front of me. But not my mail. I'll write back and tell him. I wasn't ignoring him. We did play Star Trekking at the beginning. I did like that one. Yes, we will put... Right, Mike's going to put that in. Right, so Simon says, while we're laughing about pets, my daughter just sent me a very brief movie of Dusty.
Let's have a look at Dusty.
Dusty, Dusty, Dusty. Right, got the link. Go see Dusty. Such an expressive face, that dog. That's that one. I can hear dog, Mike. What's he up to? Got it.
She's saying cat. She's winding the doggy up with cat.
Look at him. Oh, I can see. The way he swings round. That's the classic. Oh, we could make jingles from these, couldn't we? Dog jingles. I'm liking that. That's fabulous. What a look on his
Your
little
daughter's
face.
Very cruel there, Simon. winding the dog up like that.
Lola,
mind
Lola,
you, I do that.
You,
I say,
you do.
I say cat and squirrel.
Yes. But she knows. Oh, she knows, you know. Let's not get back to that one. Oh, I had a question for everybody as well. What do you use in the way of cameras, and what do you use in the way of video editors? Because Jonathan, didn't you say you were using iMovie? You edited that in iMovie? iMovie's actually come on quite a lot, hasn't it? Looking at it now, it does look like a mini version of Final Cut. Whereas before, I mean, I much prefer the original iMovie, I must admit. Loved that app. I didn't actually use it. I don't think I ever created a video in the original iMovie.
No, don't
apart
think
from
I
that
did.
Very first one we did, just to prove we could make a movie on a Mac, night one. I went straight to Final Cut because I wanted picture in picture, which obviously is now in iMovie. But let me know, most of my... Oh, Mrs. Simon has been learning Premiere Pro. Ooh, good shout. Not cheap, but a good shout. Could do with more options. What options are you missing, Jonathan? What would you really miss? Because when iMovie was iMovie 2006, the one thing I needed, well, actually, there was two. One was picture in picture. And the other was when you put footage in it, it couldn't cope at full quality with screen capture. I don't know why, but every video you produced from it was just blurry. So those were the two things that I would have wanted at the time. I've seen a lot of YouTubers saying that they use Premiere Pro, which quite surprised me because they're also using a Mac. And I thought, you know, with Premiere Pro being subscription, that they would be using Final Cut, but apparently not. And there's a few other options as well. So let me know what you're using. And Jonathan, let me know what's missing. I definitely need to know what's missing. I use Camtasia and on occasion ScreenFlow basically for everything. I know I could probably do more with Final Cut and Premiere Pro, but the thing is, I was only using ScreenFlow, this was probably about 10 years ago, for screen capture. And if I was editing video capture, I went into Final Cut. The thing with Final Cut is it needs to render literally every 2 seconds. Every change you make, it re-renders, and that takes time while you're editing. Whereas Camtasia and ScreenFlow don't. Doesn't matter whether it's screen recording video you've put on the timeline or footage from your phone, 4K, it does not need to render. So actually the edit is way quicker. Technically, there are more options in Final Cut and Premiere Pro, but it's not about whether the tool is the best tool, air quotes. It's what you can do with it. And when you know the tool incredibly well, I don't think there's much that I can't do in Camtasia and ScreenFlow at all. Kiva went nuts this morning when she saw a guy with a bumper shoot. What's a bumper shoot? Do you know, Mike?
No, but I'm going to copy, paste.
And find out. Oh, there's a picture. What's a bumper shoot?
We got a delivery.
An umbrella. Oh, wow. Not that I'm aware of.
There's a Kiva dog.
Oh!
Also a Kiva dog.
We have a dog going past. So what's the cacophony this time,
no,
Mike?
It's Watsit's dog. It's Mark Caffrey.
Oh, right.
Poppy, she's called. I don't know what's going on.
Just ignore them, Mike. It's idiots on the loose. An umbrella. But it's not British for an umbrella. Oh! Good night, Jonathan. Say hello to Mummy Isis. I trust you sang the song for her, Jonathan. Just saying.
See you, Johnny.
I guess you don't use them much because you have far better weather than us. So Paul says he's been using LumaFusion, which does get great reviews on an iPad, and ScreenFlow on the Mac, but you want to get Final Cut Pro. What's that to edit? Is that to edit tutorials or footage? Let me know. The one thing that is missing from something like ScreenFlow and Camtasia is an accompanying application to make the motion graphics. Obviously, if you're using Premiere Pro, you'd have access to After Effects, which is pretty much the standard. You need to send Mrs. Simon over to that video that I found, Simon. I found an entire tutorial for After Effects. Wasn't there one for Premiere Pro? Where's she learning it? Premiere Pro. Let me see. I'm sure there was. Nope, that's free templates. Nope, not that one either. Let's have a look. Is that a freebie? They're not free. They're $12. You're lying to me. No, I thought there was a free course for Premiere Pro. I'll try and find it. I'm sure there was. What happened to the live banner from the page? Oh, Tracy, we updated. The live banner is still there. We shrunk it and turned it blue. What we did was we had a problem with the player. It wouldn't play, which, you know, is pretty fundamental with a player. The old black one that we had. And it basically died a death at the beginning of a show. So what we did with the player, we have access to a different player, which is now why you have a blue play button, and it actually tells you what's playing. It also tells you if we're live. So next, just above the word marooned, next to MacBytes FM, there is a blue flash and it says live. So we took a poll one night and said, are we okay with that blue live banner? And everyone said, yeah. And they preferred that player to the old player, so we've stuck with this player. The benefit is that when, say it's like 4 hours from now, when it's playing from our back catalogue, it will actually tell you what episode it's playing, and the artwork will show in the where it's got a music note at the moment. So that little blue flash is only there if we're actually live. So we changed the player and decided to go with that. So that's where it went. She's learning on YouTube. Oh, what is she videoing you, or are we going to get? Are we going to be treated to lots and lots of videos of Dusty? I'd love that. So Jonathan's disappeared. So Paul, I was asking you, what sort of videos were you looking to edit with Final Cut Pro? The motion graphics side of it is probably the bit that's missing. You can do motion graphics in both ScreenFlow and Camtasia, but it's a bit of a dark art, and there's no way it's ever going to be as fully featured as motion or After Effects. I don't know why After Effects has become the standard over motion, but again, like I've just said, lots more YouTubers that tell you what they edit in tend to tell you it's Premiere Pro than Final Cut. Possibly that's historic. When Final Cut brought out that version 10 update and went all magnetic timeliney, people moved away from it, and I don't think it's recovered from that. Although now it is incredibly capable, its editing concept with the magnetic timeline and stuff hanging off it is actually very, very different to a standard timeline. So in a way, Premiere Pro still has the standard timeline. And also, of course, audio-wise, they can link into Audition to spruce up the audio while they're at it. So nothing specific for Final Cut Pro, but looking at ScreenFlow for more of the screencasting types of video. Well, either Camtasia or ScreenFlow will have you covered with that. And they are both equally good. It's basically, the difference between them is basically personal preference. I'm in a position where I always say, do I need both, Mike? Are we back to Jane's need and want?
Yes.
Well, the thing was, I already had ScreenFlow, and I've been using it for so long. And there are things that it can do. For instance, if you're recording a video, if you're using your webcam or an attached camera, I would say ScreenFlow is probably your better bet. Having said that, when it comes to the editing, I actually find that much faster in Camtasia. What's happened is, when I was using ScreenFlow and then I went to Camtasia, I found it very difficult. So much so, every time I went and had an edit with it, every time there's a new version out and I thought, I'll do a video and have a look, I ran away screaming. It was like, no, too slow. But it wasn't that it was too slow. It was the fact that I wasn't familiar with it, really. Once I got familiar with it and learned what the rationale was behind how it worked, then it made total sense. And at that point, I would say I was probably equally fast with the two. Now I edit much more in Camtasia. I'm probably a little bit slower with ScreenFlow, probably only in terms of the shortcuts. What I actually need to do for both of them, I think I did it for Camtasia, but my Stream Deck, that's that black thing with the buttons on, is configured for Hindenburg, and that was really all I wanted it for. I wasn't concerned if it worked for anything else. But obviously, it can be programmed for any application on your Mac. So it would probably be a good idea to create button sets for Camtasia and ScreenFlow. If you did that, you could have the same buttons, so you could copy, paste and whatever you need, in the same place, and then it wouldn't really matter which application you were using. But I did try editing screen captures in Final Cut, and no. The rendering was just horrific. It wasn't that it rendered once and then you were good to go. You literally just had to kind of click on it and it started rendering again. And I remember looking at it and thinking, this is ridiculous. Because the screen capture had obviously come from ScreenFlow. And what I'd done to get it into Final Cut Pro was export it at full quality. So I'd already done one export to get it into Final Cut. But in terms of putting lower thirds and stuff like that on it, it's just way faster to use what it was recorded in, which is Camtasia or ScreenFlow. No videos of Simon. Oh no. Hello, Mrs. Simon. Started to play with Spark, but focusing on Premiere for now. Excellent. Look forward to hearing about it. Tracy spotted the magnifier. The live got your magnifying glass out. We did ask and it was like, oh, that's okay. But I do agree, the other one was very much in your face. You didn't really need to look that hard, did you? What I'd say, Paul, about your Final Cut thing and ScreenFlow for screencasting, if you decide to do the recording in ScreenFlow and then do a full quality export, etc., it's going to take a lot more time. The files will be absolutely huge and you'll still have issues with things like you'd have to think about doing what we call a pre-edit. A pre-edit is where I've recorded something. So when did I last do a pre-edit? Yesterday I was doing an audio show. So this is just as equal for, just as useful for audio as video. But basically you will record, in my case, the audio in an application. For me, that's Audio Hijack, but it doesn't actually matter because it creates a standard AIFF file. It was the top and tail of a show and the credits at the end. So there were three distinct pieces, and it was so short, it was only about 2 minutes, that I did it in one take. So these three areas, these three what need to be clips, were recorded in one piece. But I stumbled at the beginning, and then that's because I didn't put the commas in the right place. Tracy would have been mortified. You only start reading it out and you run out of breath before you come to the first comma, that. So I thought, no, I'll do it again and put the commas in this time. Breathe. So I redid the first bit, and then when I came on to the end, the outro bit, I decided to say something different. So I've ended up with one audio file with like two mistakes in and something I want to take out. I would do a pre-edit on that. I would not open that file in Hindenburg and do an edit. So a pre-edit for me is I would duplicate that file and open it up. I open it in Amadeus Pro, so it's just the audio in front of you. I took the beginning off, so cut that, cut the mistake out. I did leave the big gaps between the intro and the outro and then the credits. So I still have one file. I've just pre-edited it by taking the mistakes out. Then I save it. So all I've then got is the original file with the errors taken out. I then take that file into Hindenburg and slice it into three pieces. Because why Hindenburg is so fantastic for spoken audio. Now, I also put the music shows together with it, and it's brilliant for that as well. But it was conceived by somebody who did radio reports, basically. So I've got this one thing on the timeline, and I slice it into three, and then I drag individually piece one into one of the favourite areas, piece two and piece three. So what I'm doing is building up on the left, the right-hand side, the bits that I'm going to throw onto the timeline. So at the start of my full edit, not the pre-edit, the full edit, everything is in one of the bins on the side. And I just drag and drop them onto the timeline and get them in the right place. So if you were recording screen recording, Paul, there would also be the element of doing a pre-edit, and you'd be way better advised to do the pre-edit in the application that recorded it. Because then what you would export is a full quality thing, and you wouldn't have those mistakes in to take out, because taking those out or making some kind of changes, a J cut, an L cut, would be way more difficult in something like Final Cut Pro. It can do it. It would just take you a lot longer because it's going to have to render every time you cut it. So there is a place for a pre-edit. Right. Thinking about purchasing Motion, it's only about $50. Motion is incredibly capable. It really is. It's a bit of an awkward program to start learning, because it's so different to anything else you're ever likely to have encountered, unless you're a whiz with After Effects. But it is very, very capable. And if you are going to go with Final Cut Pro, and I see what you're saying about a one-time purchase and there'd be no upgrades, then Motion's the one to go for rather than After Effects. The downside of Motion is if you were looking for a template to purchase, there are way more templates available for After Effects. It's really just a practical thing. But with Motion, it links in so well with Final Cut Pro that you can virtually go from one to the other and just pass an edit across. So Motion's very, very good. Don't think Apple have ever had that much cheaper than that. Final Cut was an absolute bargain years ago, and I'm with you. When did the App Store launch? Was it 2011?
12, I think.
2011, 2012. So you're looking at 8-9 years ago. I already had Final Cut. But when the App Store launched, what they did for people, they didn't make it free, but they did put the price down. So
2010.
I think 2010, wow. Mm. Oh, 10 years ago, good grief.
No, that's the iOS App Store.
No, it was after that. It was 2011 or 2012. He's lying to me. What they did was they put the price down of a lot of
20
the,
left.
The a lot of the applications that cost a fortune. So the ones that I bought were remote desktop. Now, I hadn't even had remote desktop. It was that expensive. But I bought remote desktop. I think that was about 49 at the time. And I also bought a Final Cut Pro and Motion and compressor. Even though I've got those, compressor just drives me insane, but I do use the other two. I'm wondering here, can you actually see your purchases in here? Oh, it looks like you can. So I'll whiz down there and find them. But I spent another 50 on Final Cut, and eventually I bought Logic Pro as well. So when did Final Cut come in here? Because it's not one of my first purchases, which I'm finding quite surprising. So they mustn't have released that in there straight away. It must have been an update that came after that. So let me have a look. I'm not seeing it. Wow, must have, oh, there's compressor. Here we go. I bought it on the 21st of June 2011. And yes, you're right, Paul. Not paid for an update since. But yeah, that's really old, isn't it? I bought them all. No, I didn't. I bought Final Cut and Motion on the 21st and compressor on the 22nd. I will dig out how much I paid for that, but I think it was around the £50 mark. So Paul's got an old version of Camtasia, an expensive hobby expense. Well, you can still upgrade from that if you wanted that to use as a recorder. Has my new keyboard become my primary keyboard? Kim, it's fabulous. Loving it. I won't say yes yet. I'm going to give it a couple of weeks. But to be honest, obviously when you buy something like that, you're going to give it the 2 weeks to find out if there's any problems with it. So far, so good. Literally, it's like the Apple one. The only difference that I've noticed, I haven't even been concerned about the key that was different on the right-hand side. The only thing that I have noticed is that there's more travel on the keys, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Because as I said, when I tried Mike's, which was the cabled one, I said to him, the travel on those keys is way better. You really notice the difference. And that's where I'm at with this. It's a little bit higher at the back, which again, I quite like. And the travel on the keys is nice to type with. So far, so good. Wise investment so far. Also, as I said, of course, it could be a backup for four devices. I've only got it on one at the moment, but I will hook it up to a couple of others and make sure that that aspect of it works. But what was concerning me was if it would keep up with my typing, or whether you start to get mistakes, because you tend to get a little bit of a lag on a Bluetooth keyboard. But no, that's been fine. And what was my other concern? No, I think that was it. Just making sure that it works on multiple devices and that the switch over is seamless, which I think it will be, because I do have a Logitech keyboard that I use for my iPad. Have I ever shown you that one? It's quite a heavy thing. But it's got this like track at the back, and I can prop my iPad up in it. It takes any iPad, in a case or without. And you can also put a phone in it as well. The only problem with that one is the keys are round, which you wouldn't think made much difference, but it makes a bit of difference. And the keys are in different places. You know, the command, option, control. They've got those in different places, which is just annoying. But it's a very good keyboard, I would use that on my iPad probably. Because if I use this one on my iPad, I'd have to have my iPad propped up in front of me. So I have a bit of a standing desk thing. It's not a proper thing that goes up on a motor and all of that. It was just this thing that I got that will... how to describe that? Need to show you on a video. It's like a tray that holds your laptop or your iPad. And it can extend. It's got like legs on it that fold out. Why don't I go and get it at Amazon and do the sensible thing like that? That would make sense. I definitely got it from Amazon, so I'll go get it from there. Do you reckon it will be called stand? Because I'm searching through my purchases. This is dangerous. How many iPad stands has she bought? Let's just say there's 8 pages of results. All right, some of them are books, Mike. Some of them are books. There's one. No, not that one. I wonder if it'd be a tray. I bought it a while ago. I know that much. Hang on. There it is. It's a folding Z tilt head. Oh, they don't sell it anymore. Crying out loud. That's no good, is it? Going down at the bottom. There's a similar one. That's not the exact one, but it's a similar one. So let me get the link for that. That one's got a mouse thing on it. Mine doesn't have the mouse thing on it, but the principle's the same. It basically unfurls itself. And my keyboard is on top of that, so I wouldn't have room for my keyboard and a stand to hold the iPad. The fact the iPad goes in this slot at the top. Now, while I'm at it, why don't I just show you the Logitech keyboard? Then you'd know exactly what I'm talking about. We're so used to video, aren't we, Mike? Mm. Then you're trying to describe what a keyboard looks like. Come on, keyboard. Come on. There you go. Oh, currently unavailable. Crying out loud. Never mind the fact it's currently unavailable. You get the idea from the picture. So let's put the picture in of that. There we go. So that's the keyboard and the slot at the top. If you look at one of those pictures that shows you the slot from the side, you can see it's kind of tilted. So the iPad tilts back. Yes, you can see the tilt on picture number 4. Right, let me catch up with the chat up here. Right. Hang on. I can just see the end of a thing there and it won't scroll. Right, Paul. Similar issues with Affinity Publisher. Need to work with it more. Your videos have been helpful. Oh, I'm glad about that. Do you know, I watched back my beta video and I wanted to make the second one different. But there was so much in the beta one, it was like, what am I going to cover? But it's endless what you can do with it. I find Affinity Publisher virtually instinctive now because I work every day in Designer. I'm surprised at how infrequently I actually need Photo. Because at one point I was in Adobe Photoshop every day and now much less so. I have much more need now for vector graphics. That's probably all the slides that I do and logos and stuff. Right. Never mind you've not been with us live, Tracy. You're here now. That's all that matters. Right. This thing is scrolling with its own mind, I'm afraid. Right, the PDF I created. This is Paul. PDF I created about the house update. I rotated the lot plan, so the words rotated the document. Only noticed when I went to add some text. So it was upside down to the rest of the images in the document to figure out how to rotate the selected layers and not the document. Basically, just use the V and hold the command key down, and you can have anything anywhere you like. So Paul's figuring he'd use ScreenFlow for screencasts and Final Cut Pro for other types of video. A video of me walking around the new house would be done in Final Cut Pro. Yep, nothing wrong with that. If I was doing that, I'd still probably be editing it in Camtasia or ScreenFlow, but that's just personal preference. One of the things that I found with Final Cut, it does have great lower thirds and stuff, but again, you're back to that rendering. How long will the rendering take before you've lost the will to live? And that just depends on what mood Final Cut's in and the speed of the machine. Remote desktop's good, but I do find every now and then, Paul, it just takes one on itself and won't connect. So I do have a couple of others that, to be honest, were much cheaper. I do stick with the Apple one most of the time. But the other ones are very, very good. If you didn't have access to it, you know, something that's like £14 is almost as good. Breaking all the COVID-19 shielded person rules. Tracy, don't know if you've heard in the UK. If you are a shielded person, despite the fact the government told you 16 weeks, 11 weeks ago, or 10 weeks ago, you can go out tomorrow. So included in the shielded person category would be people who have had heart
Don't tell him that.
Heart and lung transplants. I mean, really? Be honest, if you'd had a heart and lung transplant, you're told that you're shielded, would you leave the house?
No.
No, we're not leaving the house and we're fighting fit. So Boris has just lost the plot. It's the Dominic Cumming things that's done it. He's doing a bait and switch. Don't look at that. Look over there. That's Boris. Wasn't remote desktop 120 before the App Store? Yes, it was. It was. I purchased it on the App Store straight away. Same as you, Paul. I worked on the principle they'll be putting the price up. I thought it was in an initial, we're going to put this in here now, and the price would return. I don't think it ever has. In the same way that Final Cut Studio, I actually had the studio version, which I actually weighed the manuals once. They weighed 35 pounds, 2.5 stone in manuals. When they came out and they were on offer, that's why I got them. I think I've got a memory of compressor being something like $9.99. It was ridiculous. Ridiculously cheap. Which keyboard is this? Oh, Simon did an unboxing. Let me find you the link. Thekeyboardco.com. It's a new keyboard. The idea was I was convinced the keyboard I had was a problem. Apparently. But Mike wasn't quite as convinced as me. So I decided, I was at the point, I had a key that was stuck. And it wasn't playing ball at all. So I, at that point, I went to Apple and I checked the price of an Apple keyboard. Frightened myself to death. Right, let's try that. Can you find that? Probably not. Oh, come on. About 128 to... that's the one. There it is. About £128 to £140. So I decided I would try something else that looks identical. The difference with it is the function keys are half the size of the current Apple one, and it can attach to four devices. So I did the unboxing, and we played that through on Friday, and I've been trying it ever since. So far, so good. It's fabulous. Fabulous. Good morning, Paul. Right, let me catch up. How do I make the short Amazon links? There's a thing when you got an affiliate account at the top, you just click get link text and it shrinks it down to an Amazon.to. I think that is free though. You can do that at any point. So that it's just it appears at the top. It's called a site stripe. You get this white stripe across the top and it's got lots of options in, like you can send it straight to Twitter or Facebook and stuff. So I use that. Kim likes the stand. It's not at all bad, that. I was concerned how sturdy it would be, but I've actually got, those keyboards are not light, and I've actually got two of them on there. So it must be sturdier than I imagined it looked. But yeah, it works well. I bet a case device won't fit in that keyboard slot, full of no money. Well, I've got cases on mine. It's going to depend on the case, Tracy. I've got some that have a gel back. They're fine. And I've got one, the 11-inch iPad from 2018 has a wraparound case on it. Not one with a keyboard, but it has a wraparound case and that one fits in it. So it's very forgiving. It is very forgiving. You figured out the rotation stuff, good, and figured it'll take forever rendering on a 2012 iMac. Yeah, pretty much, Paul, yes. I mean, I had a great computer. You know, it was the latest and greatest. It had the maximum amount of RAM, and it still rendered. It's just the way that the application works. But seeing as though there's more than one application out there that doesn't work that way, I can't understand why Apple do that. There is obviously a way not to have it re-rendering. At least it would help if you could stop the re-rendering at a certain point. But no, that's just the way it works. So Simon thinks the government are basically saying if you go out and get ill, it's your fault, not theirs. Trump's doing the same thing by insisting there's no federal responsibility for anything. Totally agree, Simon. There will be a second wave. There can't not be. When you saw that picture I put up earlier, don't know if you saw that one, Simon, when we were talking about tombstoning. Did you see it? Let me go get it again. It was worth seeing. You missed this, Mike. You're doing the news. It was the tombstoning one. And the air ambulance lands. And what the point I made was not just the air ambulance. There you go, Simon. Not just the air ambulance in the picture, but the fact they've had to clear the beach. Just look at the people above the air ambulance. Have you seen that image, Mike?
I think I saw it.
There
earlier.
Is no social distancing, yeah. Is there? It's absolutely ridiculous. So if there's an outbreak in Dorset next week, you know where it started. On the beach with the tombstoning. Lock upable. Seriously, lock upable. And it also says here, in pictures, sunny spring draws people outdoors. More idiots. And that is pictures again. Now, the rules are at the moment, yes, they seem to have relaxed them a bit, but not to the point that you can go out and meet as many people as you like and not socially distance. So those social distancing rules are still in place. And when you look at these pictures, particularly the top ones on the beach and the in the park, I'll post this other link. There you go. People are ignoring them, so how can there not be a second spike? The R rate is at 0.9 to start with, so it's just a matter of time. But we're all sage, aren't we, and wise, and we're all still at home, marooned, quite happily. Because I don't want to be part of the second wave. And the other thing is, I don't want to be part of the problem for the medical services. Because I don't have any need to go out. I might not have the food that I would choose, and I might not be able to get hold of something. Like, we put an order in, and the mushrooms didn't turn up. We love mushrooms. So now we've got no mushrooms. It's not worth putting an order in. I mean, I'd have to walk £40 worth of mushrooms. I don't need £40 worth of mushrooms. But you do without it. It's not worth going out, and basically for your own health and for the emergency services. Let them do their job in peace. And as for the schools going back tomorrow, I'm waiting for that one. That's going to be all over the news tomorrow. Absolutely. So Simon says his concern was the fact all the states basically went into competitive bullying. Oh, buying, not bullying, buying. We had that though, didn't we? It's like a market for it, and I think we overpaid for it. The thing was, the UK were actually actively exporting up to a couple of weeks before the main crisis. Mm. And then needed to import, and then got duff stuff from Turkey, which died a death. We never heard about that again, did we? It is ridiculous, the whole thing. Tracy got the other half of Matthias' keyboard. I did have one, but the one that I had was the big white plastic one, very reminiscent of an Apple II keyboard. And I had to pension it off. I was all right. When Mike was at work every day, I would use it for sort of 8 hours a day, and I was fine. In a webinar, I had to change my keyboard because it was just too loud. And when Mike had a webinar, it was too loud. And he reached the point where he had like 7 or 8 webinars a week in the evenings, and I'd have to swap keyboards. So when the one came out, the Apple one with the numeric keypad, I jumped on that and got 2 of them. I have had them both 3 years, literally. 3 years next month, June. So I figured maybe, you know, it had been overused and it was starting to miss keys. That's why I decided I would try this one and see how this one went. Then maybe I could try the other one again and see which one I actually think is the best. But I'm having absolutely zero problems with this one. I went for it because I'd had a Matthias before and I knew they're a very, very good make. And the fact that it can attach to 4 devices is just like the cherry on the top, to be honest. Right, it all sank like Chris Grayling's shipping fleet. Have a Logitech Craft keyboard. Not sure you'd recommend it. I'm not sure about the Craft one. Logitech, I have a love-hate relationship with Logitech. Some of their stuff is fantastic and some of it way less so. I think it really does depend on the device. They always seem to be trying to outdo somebody and therefore make their stuff kind of quirky. Right, I see the one you mean. I did see that one. And what on earth are those things at the top, like circles? Is it a stand or something? The kind of look of it put me off. I wasn't really sure what the circly bits were for. Slim, minimalistic desk swaggers with potentially a plethora of features made to improve productivity. So for it, it's got media control buttons. And against it, limited access to software and applications, which was my problem. So that must be some kind of device at the top. Didn't Logitech bring out that wheel thing, Mike, that we looked at years ago?
I think they did. Yeah,
Logitech,
I think they did.
Controller. I think it was supposed to be for things like Photoshop. It had a thing on it that glowed. It looked like a little dome and it had a blue light on the top, but I can't for the life of me remember. There's a new one there, a Logitech wheel.
Cheers, Paul.
Good night, Paul. Ooh, new carpet. You're very welcome, Paul. And it might not have been a Logitech. I'm going to find that. It's going to be annoying me now. But I looked at it and I thought, that looks amazing. But I didn't go for it because I was thinking to myself, it's going to have to rely on third-party software. That could stop you upgrading your operating system because the third-party software hasn't been updated fast enough. And then if they stop supporting it, which happens to things a lot more expensive than this was about £25-30, the scanner manufacturer decided to abandon it, so I have to use this old computer just doing one job. So I decided not to go for it, but it looked nice. Let's say that, it looked nice. I'm going to have to find that now. Right, that's actually really good. The problems are the lack of coordination with the matching Logitech mouse. That'd be right, wouldn't it? You just can't get the ducks in a row. I think the wheel that I'm thinking about, let's try wheel rather than controller. It had a blue light on it, that's what I remember about it. No, it's not coming up, so it clearly wasn't a Logitech. Let's try that and see if that works, and if we can find it that way. No, that's just giving me colour wheels. Lovely. What was the make of it, Mike? Well, let's try controller then. Now we've taken Logitech out. It might come up. There's all sorts here for Photoshop and Lightroom with loads of buttons on. And then you've got the concept things that people would really love somebody to make. That looks like it. It was Griffin. It wasn't Logitech, it was a Griffin. It was called a PowerMate. I have a review of it here from 2014. And it was made for crafters and creators. There you go. A Griffin PowerMate. I think they still make them, but you're on the cusp with them. And at some point, it's not going to be supported. And then you've got this lovely bookend. So I decided not to go for it. The other thing is you kind of get used to what you work with and you'd be reaching your hand out. Even when I'm on a laptop and I'm away from home, I'm sitting there and I'm typing and I'm reaching my hand out for my mouse. The trackpad's in front of you, woman. And you know you're on a laptop and I still reach my hand out for the mouse. So I deliberately didn't want anything that didn't have legs, as it were, that I couldn't almost guarantee would be there tomorrow. Some things I actually replaced, you know, with software. Everybody and their dog was buying mixers from about 2006-07 onwards. Oh, you've got to have a mixer. You've got to have this mixer. This mixer's better than that mixer. You need a mixer. And they all had these complicated mix-minus setups and stuff. And some people who traditionally, you know, they weren't experts with it, they were getting into audio for the very first time. I've got to have a mixer. And their desks were stacked high with this rubbish. And I said to Mike, I can't understand why they're wasting money on this. I do everything with Audio Hijack. Everything. Everything has been virtual here with our audio since 2006. You do not need to spend money on mixers and setups, even mix minus setups. You do not need that. With all of the software that comes from Rogue Amoeba, in the money that you're paying for your mixer, I've got all four or five of their applications and everything is humming along nicely. So that's another reason, you know, I deliberately steered away from the hardware because, again, after 2 years, 3 years, people were saying, I now need a new mixer. And you're thinking, but that's hardware. Why? It attaches via USB? Yeah, maybe. But a lot of them weren't. They were FireWire. And there's no FireWire anymore. Then you had to buy expensive cables to do conversion. So I needed to convert it from a FireWire 800 into something else for it to work. But then the problem became, because of the dongle you needed, certain features weren't working. So it was a whole lot easier to just go virtual, and I did. Right, where are we going here? Right, yep, put that in. I am up to date. So, good chat about video editors. Now I know what you're all editing. Can't wait to see Simon. You've got to let Missy Simon do one of you and the dog, surely. Or the baking. A time lapse of the baking. It would be amazing. We would love that. Right, but for now, should we head off and have something to eat?
We shall.
Are we peckish now at last?
I'm okay. I need to walk Lola.
Oh, yes. We've left Lola's walk until the sun went down. Again, pavement's far too warm for her. And she was so tired last night, wasn't she, when she came back?
Bless.
And she needs to have enough water when she comes back too. So, yes, the walk for Lola, and then maybe a little bit of food. Who knows? But we are heading into week 12 tomorrow. Don't miss it. Be with us, 7 o'clock, week 12. June, of course, is a very important month. because it's WWDC. We have no news of how Apple actually intend to do this thing. But whatever they intend to do, we will be there. We will be there. Actually, in my system for Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, if you remember, we'd taken it up to today. 77 was the last show in my system. But I'm going to carry on. We might as well. One, we're still in lockdown. Two, so are you. Because you're not tombstoning, you've got brains. And also, you know, with it being June, we'd be covering WWDC anyway. So definitely more Marooned. Hope that suits everybody and you are still enjoying it, because we love chatting with you guys. Right, but for now, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both
see you next time.
Stay safe, guys.